Didn't think he was the type. Dried-up old bureaucrat. A vintage that sometimes isn't what it seems. She stands up. "Why were you there?" she asks. I shrug. "Did you expect me to leave you?" She looks at me for a moment that feels like eternity. I didn't know you long enough to guess the answer to that before. Funny what a crisis teaches you about other people. She holds out a hand. Brains probably isn't going to get back until 7, and I need to go back to my flat in half an hour. Give me a hand moving this thing off the table. She gestures at the engine block. Guess so. What are you planning on doing, if I may be so bold?
Doing?
She pauses with one hand on the Kettenkrad engine block. I'm moving the rest of my stuff into Brains's room once he's gone. You didn't think you could get rid of me that easily, did you? She grins suddenly. Want to help me pack?
This ends the Atrocity Archive. And now, Concrete Jungle.
The death rattle of a mortally wounded telephone is a horrible thing to hear at 4 o'clock on a Tuesday morning. It's even worse when you're sleeping the sleep that follows a pitcher of iced margaritas in the basement of the Dog's Bollocks with a chaser of nachos and a tequila slammer or three for dessert. I come to, sitting upright, bare-ass naked in the middle of the wooden floor, clutching the receiver with one hand and my head with the other, purely to prevent it from exploding, you understand, and moaning quietly, "Who is it?" I croak into the microphone. "Bob, get your ass down to the office right away. This line isn't secure." I recognize that voice. I have nightmares about it. That's because I work for its owner.
"Well, I was asleep, boss. Can't it?"
I gulp and look at the alarm clock. "Wait until morning?" "No. I'm calling a code blue." Jesus. The band of demons stomping around my skull strike up an encore with drums.
"Okay, boss. Ready to leave in 10 minutes. Can I bill a taxi fare?"
"No, it can't wait. I'll have a car pick you up." He cuts the call, and that is when I start to get frightened, because even Angleton, who occupies a lair deep in the bowels of the laundry's arcana analysis section, but does something far scarier than that anodyne title might suggest, is liable to think twice before authorizing a car to pull in an employee at 0 dark o'clock. I manage to pull on a sweater and jeans, tie my shoelaces, and get my ass downstairs just before the blue and red strobes light up the window above the front door. On the way out, I grab my emergency bag, an overnighter full of stuff that Andy suggested I should keep ready, just in case, and slam and lock the door and turn around in time to find the cop waiting for me.
"Are you Bob Howard?"
"Yeah, that's me." I show him my card.
"If you'll come with me, sir."
Lucky me. I get to wake up on my way in to work 4 hours early, in the front passenger seat of a police car, with strobes flashing and the driver doing his best to scare me into catatonia. Lucky London. The streets are nearly empty at this time of night, so we zip around the feral taxis and somnolent cleaning trucks without pause. A journey that would normally take an hour and a half takes 15 minutes. Of course, it comes at a price. Accounting exists in a state of perpetual warfare with the rest of the civil service over internal billing, and the Metropolitan Police charge for their services as a taxi firm at a level that would make you think they provided limousines with wet bars. But Angleton has declared a code blue, so... The dingy-looking warehouse in a side street, adjoining a closed former primary school, doesn't look too promising, but the door opens before I can raise a hand to knock on it. The grinning, sallow face of Fred from accounting looms out of the darkness in front of me, and I recoil before I realize that it's all right. Fred's been dead for more than a year, which is why he's on the night shift. This isn't going to degenerate into plaintive requests for me to fix his spreadsheet. "Fred, I'm here to see Angleton," I say very clearly. Then I whisper a special password to stop him from eating me. Fred retreats back to his security cubbyhole, or coffin, or whatever it is you call it, and I cross the threshold of the laundry. It's dark. To save light bulbs, and damn the health and safety regs, but some kind soul has left a mouldering cardboard box of hand torches on the front desk. I pull the door shut behind me, pick up a torch, and head for Angleton's office. As I get to the top of the stairs, I see that the lights are on in the corridor we call Mahogany Row. If the boss is running a crisis team, then that's where I'll find him. So I divert into executive territory until I see a door with a red light glowing above it. There's a note taped to the door handle. Bob Howard, access permitted. So I, access permitted, and walk right in. As soon as the door opens, Angleton looks up from the map spread across the boardroom table. The room smells of stale coffee, cheap cigarettes, and fear. "You're late," he says sharply. "Late," I echo, dumping my emergency bag under the fire extinguisher and leaning on the door. "Hello, Andy, Boris. Boss, I don't think the cop was taking his time. Any faster and he'd be billing you for brown stain removal from the upholstery." I yawn. "What's the picture?" "Milton Keynes," says Andy.
"Are sending you there to investigate,"
explains Boris, with extreme prejudice. Angleton one-ups them. "Milton Keynes?" It must be something in my expression. Andy turns away hastily and pours me a cup of laundry coffee, while Boris pretends it's none of his business. Angleton just looks as if he's bitten something unpleasant, which is par for the course.
"We have a problem," Angleton explains, gesturing at the map. "There are too many concrete cows."
Concrete cows. I pull out a chair and flop down into it heavily, then rub my eyes. This isn't a dream, is it, by any chance? No? Shit. Boris glowers at me.
"Not a joke."
He rolls his eyes toward Angleton.
"Boss?"
"It's no joke, Bob," says Angleton.
His normally skeletal features are even more drawn than usual, and there are dark hollows under his eyes. He looks as if he's been up all night. Angleton glances at Andy.
"Has he been keeping his weapons certification up to date?"
"I practice 3 times a week, I butt in, before Andy can get started on the intimate details of my personal file. "Why?"
"Go down to the armory right now, with Andy. Andy, self-defense kit for one, sign it out for him. Bob, don't shoot unless it's you or them."
Angleton shoves a step.